Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to an episode of The Standard is the Standard. I say this as expecting all of our listeners to know what the show is, but I realize also that there's probably several people that follow us on our quickly growing YouTube channel. We almost have 900 followers, and they might not know what The Standard is the Standard is. And what it is, it's a podcast that myself, Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and my co-host Lance Williams out on the West Coast have been doing now for, shoot, how many years now, Lance? Is this our fourth season doing the show?
Yeah, man, so long that you've had a couple of kids since then.
I've had more than a couple. But anyway, it's a show that it's a two-person show. A lot of people are used to just hearing about from me on the Steelers news we have been doing on the podcast platform. But this is our show, and we've been doing it. We'll do it weekly during the season. In the off season, it's kind of sporadic, but there is news to talk about. We're going to get right into it. Lance, I want to get your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell. And after the top 10 was released from the NFL Network's top 100, they interviewed him personally. And of course, they asked about the contract situation. They said, you know, what do you think? Everything he said was very positive. It wasn't the usual, I want to be paid what I feel I'm worth. I want to be paid as a number one running back, number two wide receiver, yada, yada, yada. We've all heard those things. Do you think there's any credence to him being kind of positive about getting a deal done, or is he just blowing smoke?
Well, first of all, what was the number he was at? What did he get ranked at?
He was number five, and Antonio Brown was number two.
That's about right. I was thinking five is about right. Well, I mean, I think he's learned that with the Pittsburgh Steelers, all of that other stuff doesn't impact contract negotiations. So you might as well just be positive about it. I mean, they're not going to be sensitive to, oh, I want to be the best. I'm the best. I want to be paid the most, all that. I mean, they're Rock of Gibraltar. Until it's a number that they're agreeable with, whether he goes the negative or positive route, it's not going to make a damn difference. So you might as well just be positive or not say anything about it and just say, we're diligently working on a deal. They're not going to be moved. So it is what it is.
Yeah, he did say that they're closer now than they were at any point last year. And that, to me, just because I cover the Steelers and I cover them closely, I mean, last year, it was rumored that the agents of Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers had a deal done, and then Bell walked in at the last second and said, I'm not signing this. And so if they were that close last year and they're already closer, I guess in the back of my mind, and I said this on my other show, is what if we were wrong the whole time? Everyone's just assuming that Bell's not going to get a deal done, that the Steelers aren't going to be able to afford him. But what if they did? I mean, what if they did sign him to 4 to 5 years? I mean, I think that would be a huge get for the Steelers because it would probably alleviate some salary cap space. And they're going to get a guy in his prime for another 4 or 5 years with Ben Roethlisberger in his prime and Antonio Brown in his prime as well.
I mean, it's a good thing if you can keep the number five ranked, you know, albeit political on that list. I mean, if you can keep arguably the best running back in the National Football League, it's not a bad thing. I will say this, though. They've got to rethink his usage. They've got to take some of the hits off of him. I mean, his usage rate, and that's a basketball term, obviously, but in terms of football, in terms of touches and carries, they've got to take some of that stress off of him and be able to distribute the rock more to different people and get more usage and production from different players. But everything you said is absolutely right on. I mean, you want the best running back coupled with the not top 10 quarterback, as well as the number two player. Arguably, you could probably make up a number one player in the league, Antonio Brown. That's a good thing. But again, I mean, we're both married guys. I mean, you know, but, you know, there was a time when we were dating or whatever, and I'm sure there were some females we were really close. We were really close, but just this close. Look, it's either get it done or you don't. Close or not. It's yes or no. There's no – close is cool, but close ain't there. So, yep. You know, until they get that thing signed. And we talked about it on the show last year that we thought he made an incredible mistake not taking that deal if the numbers – were true that was reported by the Post-Gazette. We thought it was a huge mistake, and it didn't sound like an agent would ever advise him to do that, that it was the player making the decision. And so hopefully they get it done because, you know, Le'Veon being a Pittsburgh Steeler is a good thing.
Absolutely. Now, I do want to say that he, in that same interview with the NFL Network, did mention that under new offensive coordinator Randy Feitner, they do plan on using him in space more. So I could see him being flexed out in the slot or even out wide. He's done that before. They want to get him, they want to use him as like the ultimate mismatch, which is a good segue into my next topic. And the last 3 years, I think it's been three, it's at least been two, where the goal for the offense has always been 30 points per game. And they have never lived up to it. I want to say there's only one or two offenses during that span have. The Atlanta Falcons that went to the Super Bowl did. What do you think, Lance, if they're abandoning, and what we've heard is that they don't care about 30 points per game anymore. Give me some landmarks or give me some expectations for this group that is basically all returning. I mean, they lost Martavis Bryant, but let's be honest, they're basically all back. Same offensive line, same quarterback, running back's going to be back, whether it's for 1 year or more. What are your expectations for the offense this year?
Well, first of all, I mean, they're never going to score 30 a game. That's not going to happen. Sorry, Steeler fans. That's
not going to happen. They're not going to average.
They're not going to average 30 points a game. That's not going to happen. You know, if you're new to the program, listeners, because I know Jeff's been doing his work, building up the site, building up the channel, big up to Jeff. But Jeff is joy, and I'm the opposite of joy. So with that being said, I'm going to be a Debbie Downer. It's not going to happen. Why is it not going to happen? Because a quarterback is inconsistent in the red zone. He has been his entire career. Now, if you want to look at benchmarks for the offense, I want them to be a top five red zone offense, a top five third down offense, and, you know, I want them to be a top five scoring offense. I think if they're top five on third down, top five in the red zone, they'll be a top five scoring offense. Whether that's 25 points a game, whether that's 26, 27, because they probably average close to, I'm guessing about 26 and a half, close to probably around there, probably 26 and a half, 26 points a game, somewhere around there, I'm thinking, just off the top of my head. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they are probably a top seven scoring offense. But I think they can be a top three offense. I think they would underachieve if they're not a top three in those categories, red zone, third down, and you know, red zone and third down and scoring. I'm expecting top three in all of those.
Do you, I guess, do you still think that this team needs the offense to be top three to have a chance at legitimately winning a Super Bowl, or do you think that the defense is capable of keeping them afloat if they have a couple bad games and just hope that it's not in the playoffs?
Who are the linebackers again?
Inside or outside? Which one?
Inside. Who are the inside linebackers?
My prediction was that John Bostic will be alongside Vince Williams to start the season. Although Tyler Matakavich has been getting first team reps in the offseason workouts, I don't think that's going to stand up.
Okay. Well, exactly. They need this offense to cook.
But hold on. Go ahead.
They need this offense to cook. This is the type of offense. There isn't a dominant player on the defense, in my opinion. There are solid guys, no monsters, no dominant guys. There's no guy on this defense that I think you have to game plan against. It is a solid defense. It's not a defense that is going to get torched flat out. You just need it to be solid and not break. And this is a defense that wants to play with leads. Give it leads and it'll be okay.
Okay, so this is a good segue into the next topic, and kudos to you. You're a pro. You're a pro's pro, everyone out there that might be listening for the first time. Rod Woodson was on the NFL Network, and they were asking him about the quote-unquote drama behind Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and he basically dismissed that and said he wanted to talk about the defense, and he started talking about how they haven't had a playmaker on defense since Troy Polamalu. He did mention that Ryan Shazier was going to be or could have been that playmaker, but he's obviously not going to play for this year or the foreseeable future. Who, if you were to, you just said that there's no guy, that's the guy on defense, but if there's someone that you put your finger on and say, this guy could be a playmaker for the Steelers defense, who is it?
I mean, it's Watt and Bud Dupree. I mean, those are the guys that are the physical freaks, so to speak, on that particular defense. I mean, you look at Bud Dupree's size, strength ratio. I mean, he's 270, 6'4", 6'5", you know, 4'5", 40, you know, probably 40-inch plus vertical leap. J.J. Watt ticks all those boxes as well. Those are the two physical freak guys. Those are the guys that are going to have to go out and make plays and change games and make offensive coordinators draw the little circle around those guys and game plan around those guys. Those are the guys. Wreck-It Ralph is solid. Tuitt is solid. But the two outside linebackers are the guys. They got to go get it done.
Yeah, so you're saying that Hayward is just solid. You're not saying that Cameron Hayward could be a – I don't want to put him and Aaron Donald in the same sentence because that's not fair to anyone. I guess I view the defensive front, especially under Butler and how well they've performed and how many sacks they've gotten. I guess I could Joe Hayden, does he still have what it takes to be a playmaker in the back end? Or Sean Davis, maybe as a free safety and not a strong safety? Everyone says he's got the range to do it. I don't know if I believe it. I haven't seen it yet. But, I mean, it's got to be more than Dupree and Watt to me.
I think you don't need, you know, half of your unit to be those guys. If those guys are the guys that they think they are and they're heating it up, it makes the rest of the defense better. It brings them up. So, you know, if Bud Dupree is going out there getting 12 sacks and Watt's going out there getting 12 and you got booking 12 sacks on both ends, then all of a sudden that defense is on and cracking. So guys are getting one-on-one matchups because you're getting slide protections and doubles and all that stuff. And guys can work one-on-one and, you know, dominant pass rush by those edge rushers elevates that whole entire defense. All of a sudden, you know, quarterbacks can't scan, survey, pad it, come back to the, you know, they can't do all that. Everything's heightened. Everything's faster. Everybody's hitting. You know, when you bring in two bullies to the block, everybody else becomes a bully all of a sudden, too. You know, you get hurt when you bring two big boys with you.
Yeah.
So that they need those boys thumping and rumping and bumping and doing their thing.
I agree with you. The only problem is I don't think that the Steelers defense is going to be set up to be able to do that this year. I don't think they're going to have those. It's just not going to come from the traditional bookend outside linebackers, in my opinion. But you know what? We'll get into that more in depth as training camp rolls around, the preseason comes up. Trust me, we'll be talking about that for days. Now, there was news a couple weeks ago. We haven't had a show in a while. And
yes.
Antonio Brown was very frustrated with the media. He was there for the first two OTAs and then missed the rest. And he didn't show up again until mandatory minicamp. Just from his social media activity, it looked like he had some personal issues that he was dealing with. Mike Tomlin never said anything negative about the player. I'm sure he knew about the absence. Ben Roethlisberger missed as well. You told me that you wanted to kind of talk about this a little bit and his comments that he made when he returned from minicamp, talking about freedom and things of that nature. Lance, go ahead and get on your soapbox, and now's your chance.
We discussed it, you know, in a funny fashion years ago when I said that, you know, Antonio Brown was a me guy. And, you know, I told you that he was a guy that wants and craves and lusts attention. And at the time, you know, I don't think you disagree with me. You kind of laughed at the example that I used. It was the Rolls Royce that had his autograph on it. You remember that when he had the car at training camp and he had Antonio Brown autographed on his car?
Yep.
Yeah, I said immediately, he's a me guy.
Yes.
He's like, look at me, look at me, look at me. But you can't be a me guy and express desires and issues about freedom when you voluntarily invite me and you into almost every aspect of your life. Now, we have a responsibility to not go beyond that and intrude past what he's telling us. But if you're telling us you're going to work out here at a certain time and you're posting a video and you're like, people are going to show up. You're you. So if the freedom that you want, if you so desire it, you might need to protect it a little bit better by not giving access to so many. And given the current time that we're in politically, given, you know, what occurred today, because we're recording this on the 28th of June, 2018, unfortunately, there were some journalists that were harmed today. And we're talking about freedom that, you know, you're a football guy, right? You're a multi-million dollar athlete, and you've earned every nickel and every cent of that. But, you know, there are people out here really fighting for freedom. Ours, yours, mine. So, you know, hearing him complain about this, particularly when he is probably at the root of the cause of it, it's just frustrating. You know, can athletes complain? Obviously they can. You know, they're human beings. You know, their life, they go through issues. But freedom, I'm not free. I don't know about that. There are, you know, there are some definitely some more pressures that he has to deal with that we don't, being a public figure. But a lack of freedom, not being free, I don't know if I agree with him.
Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. That's exactly what it boils down to. You can't demand, you can't want to build a brand, and that's exactly what these guys are doing. And I don't blame them. They want some income outside of football. And so he's built his brand. Business is booming. Call God, you know, Tony Toe Tap and all this stuff that he has, I'm sure, dubbed and branded and got himself extra, you know, attention. Well, when you have that many Instagram followers and Snapchat followers and you're putting so much out there, you cannot say you're suffocating when you're putting your life out on social media.
Right.
I'll give you the perfect example of Ben Roethlisberger. He has a Twitter handle, but he doesn't run it. He has a female that he knows that is a friend of the family, whatever. And she is the one that puts, you know, she'll share links. If Ben Roethlisberger has a comment, she will quote Roethlisberger and put it out on social media. That guy stays out of the limelight. No one really knows, you know, where he's going, where he's working out. Every now and then you'll get a glimpse of that based on other players. Like when they make their offensive line, typically would go down to Georgia. He's taken his receivers out. It's all been because of the receivers and the linemen. It's never been because of Roethlisberger. It is possible to be a superstar in the NFL and still have privacy. But you can't demand privacy and say you lack freedom when you put your whole life on social media. It just doesn't Absolutely. Work that way.
And another so for example, me, I'll give you another example, Jeff, is the Facebook video. Mm-hmm. You know, when he violates the sanctity of the locker room to post a Facebook video on Facebook Live. And he's talking about privacy and freedom and all that stuff. But then he violates it by doing that. Like, his teammates are and his coach are in intimate moments saying particular things that they don't want anybody to know or hear or see. And he's posting it. So, I mean, you're absolutely right. You can't have the cake and eat it too.
Well, he was doing his job with the Facebook Live video, and they came out that he got paid for that. He got paid a lot of money for that. Facebook, I think they gave him six figures to do Facebook Live videos throughout the year. That's when they were on the team plane. He was Facebook Live in that. And I'm thinking, this is awesome. As a fan, you're getting an inside look of what it's like. But then I'm thinking, shoot, shouldn't this stuff be kind of sacred, like you said? I don't know. It's a strange dynamic. The comments were weird. If you followed his social media leading up to that event, weird was the best way I could put it. He had some stuff going on. I'm going to chalk that up to the dude's got some issues off the field. Let's get him buttoned up this offseason. Yeah. So when you come to camp, I would love to see him just show up to camp in a regular car too. Just roll up. He drives a Rolls Royce everywhere. So just roll up in your normal Rolls. Get out of the car, say, it's good to see you all. No fanfare. I said that about Brett Kiesel too. So I don't want people to think that I'm like discriminating on Antonio Brown. When Brett Kiesel used to roll up in a freaking tractor, I'd say, man, can't you just show up to work? Can't you just say we're here to work? We're going to put our hard hats on. We're going to work our tails off. I don't know. Hey, It is what it
you
is.
You know, I mean, guys like attention, man. You know, maybe he shows up with the Rolls without his autograph on it. That was the most asinine thing ever.
Well, I don't know if that was as bad as last year showing up in the really old Rolls with like a butler driving and getting it was. I don't get it. I just maybe it's just, I don't know. It's not me. I don't get it. I would be the guy driving my Toyota Prius to camp and parking and just like going in the back way. So I don't know what to say.
No, I'd have it now. Trust me, I'd have an Aston Martin, but I'd be driving it, and you know, it wouldn't have my autograph on it, but it would be very nice. I may have a driver as well, but I may not have you see it. But the driver may be dropping me off in Latrobe.
So you're pulling out the James Bond car, man. The Austin. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, that's actually, I hate driving, so it would probably be a driver. I definitely have limo service going to training camp. I mean, so sorry. But I'm not going to have my autograph on it, and I'm not going to say, look at me. Look at me. I would not do.
You're talking out of both sides of your mouth now, so this is a good time to stop. All right, you got anything else to add there, Lance, before we call it a show?
No, man, it's great to do the show. It's great to get back and do the show again. Congratulations to you, Jeff, you and your family, and thanks for holding down the show. Jeff, man, you need a six man now.
A six man.
You need a six man. You got to have somebody coming off the bench. No.
The basketball team's good. For those that don't know, my wife and I welcomed our fifth child into the world about a week ago. And so that's what Lance is referring to. So, Lance, thank you for that. If you're listening to this podcast, whether it's on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com or whether it's on YouTube or you didn't know we had a YouTube channel, go to YouTube, BTSC Steelers Radio, subscribe, like, all that good stuff. And remember, we will be back. I don't know when. I will be back. You know when. We'll be back soon. It's only like 25 days until the players report to training camp. And so once training camp rolls around, news starts to fly. That's when we'll be back on a more regular basis. And then the season, obviously,
once a week, we
will be back. Yep. So thanks for listening. Remember, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, your one-stop shop for Pittsburgh Steelers news. We'll see you next time.